And now as we are gathered here as your people, I ask that you will speak, Lord, for we're listening. Speak a word for us, a word of love, a word of hope, a word of peace. Speak, Lord, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, my sermon title today is A Prayer of Faith Changes Things. And certainly it doesn't have anything to do with the gospel narrative. That gospel narrative that we just heard read from Jesus is one of the harshest in the Bible that we see. And we know that Jesus does not mean it literally. But it's a lot about a lot of maiming. You know, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. They are hard words, aren't they? Cut off your hands. You know, sometimes you see the gospel and you don't want to preach it because it can be hard at times. Because the gospel is always very loving. Every now and then Jesus preaches something. We see something that makes us tremble because Jesus is against sin. He doesn't want us to sin because he knows what the results of sin will be. And he says, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. You know, some of us would be going to heaven with one eye and one foot and no hands, right? Because we wouldn't stop sinning. Jesus is just making a point here. And so it's a very, you know, could be a very hard text. And certainly Jesus is not telling us to cut our hands and our feet off. What he's saying is, do not sin. Because when you sin, there is no hope for you unless you repent. But the main part of this text is that I want to lift up and then get to the James text, which I want to really preach from, is that we should not be a stumbling block before anyone. Do not be a stumbling block. What is a stumbling block is? What is it? Is someone or something that prevents the other person from doing something, in this case, doing something good, from worshiping God, from reading the Bible, from praying. Do not be a stumbling block. Don't stop someone from doing something good, right? Don't stop someone from coming to church. Don't stop someone from praying. You may not want to pray. You may not like to pray. You may not think prayer is good. You may, frankly, folks who don't go to church and pray and sing songs, they may think that we're crazy. We in the churches who sing and we worship God and we can't see God and they must be nuts. People have said, you know, that we're a little bit nuts, and we are. We believers in Jesus Christ, we want to be nuts for Christ. It's okay. People are nuts for football and nuts for basketball. I see them screaming and yelling and all of that. And so we are screaming and yelling for Jesus. It's okay because the world is free. We live in a great democracy. So if I want to come to church on Sunday and scream for Jesus, don't be a stumbling block in my way. And if I want to take every money I have and give it to the church, did you hear that, church? If I want to take every dime I have and bring it to the church, don't get in my way. There are people who buy tickets, season tickets, and spend thousands of dollars to go see tennis and golf and whatever, and buy their boats and their cars, and they're doing what they need to do. They think it's right for them. And I don't have to be a stumbling block in their way, and they shouldn't be a stumbling block in our way. This is what Jesus is saying, because for me, my joy, and I can't speak for the other Christians here and the other believer, but worshiping the Lord and coming to church and serving God gives me great joy.
Amen.
And praying to God gives me such hope. I don't know what I would do without prayer in my life. And so, all Jesus is trying to say, when you are a stumbling block in the life of anyone, especially when he says little ones, he says he meant even those who you think are lower than you, right? When you're a stumbling block in their way, you might as well cut off your hand and your feet, because you're going to go to hell. That's what he's saying. Don't stop people from being what they want to be. Some people don't like when you worship loud, or if you say amen. And amen is so be it. That's all it means, so be it. And thus saith the Lord. They don't like that. Some people don't like if you raise your hand. Some people don't like if you sit and don't smile. It's so many things you have to do to please each other. Don't worry about it. Do what you have to do and leave space for the next person. Leave room for the next person, Jesus is saying. Just don't be a stumbling block. You know, let Christians do what they want to do, and then we live in a pluralistic society now, religiously pluralistic world right here in the U.S., and there are folks that are worshiping now that I've never seen in many years, and now they're growing in worship. And you know what? They have a right to worship too. And we have a right to worship. And so we don't want to be a stumbling block. So that's what Jesus is really saying. And that's the emphasis here, is not to be a stumbling block. We should not stop people from doing what they want to do in worship of the Lord. And so now here's this little baby is going to be baptized. And maybe somebody thinks we're a little bit nuts at talking about baptizing a baby. But don't be a stumbling block in our way, because we're going to baptize him anyhow. Because that's what we believe in. We believe in infant baptism. We believe in grown-up baptism. We believe it has been handed down to us by our Lord and Savior. And we believe that, and we're going to do it. That's one of the tenets of our church and the tradition of our church. And it's a gift for us to do it. Because certainly we believe in the doctrine of original sin, and that God forgives us. But today I want to focus on something that is more uplifting than we worrying about cutting any of our body parts off. We don't want to talk about that today. I really want to talk about James. And James talks about the prayer of faith. And so again, my sermon title is The Prayer of Faith Changes Things. And I read this reflection, which I'd like to share with you. In the winter of 2007, a close friend of mine, says the writer, was sick, had a brain aneurysm. For weeks, she lingered on the support, growing weaker, and life support growing weaker each day. As her condition deteriorated, her children were called in to say their goodbyes, and her church prepared for a funeral. Then Linda suddenly snapped out of her coma. As she came to, she looked over at her husband and asked, "Where is everybody else?" Shaking his head, he explained, They allow only one of us at a time in ICU. There is no one else here." Linda argued, "No, I heard them. And they were all speaking at the same time, and there were hundreds of them too. Some of them knew others, others I didn't. Some of them I knew, others I didn't. But they were all around. They were here." Linda's husband assured her that all those people had never been in the room. Like many, he initially thought that Linda must have been hallucinating. Some people speculated that Linda had seen and heard angels. But the real answer was probably much closer to home. A few days after her miraculous recovery, Linda discovered that a large prayer chain had been created to pray for her. This group had been formed when news of her condition was sent out to local churches, and then it had spread to other groups throughout the region. Within days, Linda's name had been placed on hundreds of prayer lists and written in scores of prayer logs. For weeks, thousands were praying for her each day. Her miraculous recovery convinced Linda of two things. The voices she heard were of the people who had been praying for her, and those prayers had pulled her back from death's door. Linda's story is far from unusual. Countless people have been touched by the power of prayer. Science and personal experiences have proven that the words of prayer do have impact. But the impact can't happen unless the ones doing the praying believe their words carry weight. And so, today, one writer says, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his highest willingness. And so we look at James' prayer, and James' prayer here, this text is called the prayer of faith. And it begins by saying, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Now, friends, I know there are folks who think prayer is hocus pocus, or they think prayer doesn't work. But for those of us who have experienced hope through prayer and through the gift of prayer, and has been healed through prayer, whether mentally or physically, we believe in prayer. We know there is a God who hears and listens all of our prayers. And so the scripture says, and he poses instructions for us today, and this is for the congregation. He says, for the members of the congregation, as he writes for all of us, are any among you suffering? And we suffer in different forms, don't we? We suffer physically. We suffer emotionally. We suffer in many different ways. There's a lot of folks who are suffering now on drug addiction. There are folks who are suffering from cancer. There's folks who are suffering from depression. We suffer in many, many different ways. But there's no exception or exemption with God. Whatever we're suffering from, God will hear and answer our prayers according to his will. So the writer says, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Right? They should pray. We should pray. See, anyone among us suffering, we should pray. Are anyone cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. And that's why we come and we praise God and we sing songs of praise. Because when things are going in our life, going well in our life, we want to praise God. We want to tell God thanks for what God has done. Because we know that it's not just by power or by might that these things happen to us. He says, are any among you sick? They should call the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, these are key instructions. And sometimes we do it in the church and folks may think that we are just losing it. But these are instructions from our Holy Bible. We know that the oil doesn't make you well, but it's a symbol of us believing by faith that God can heal. Anyone is sick, we will pray for anyone. We don't have to know them. We believe the word. You see, I don't believe in taking the word and parsing it out and only take what you like. Like everybody likes John 3:16. I said in the Bible study this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We love that because it's all about love. But the other instructions, we are supposed to pray for each other. Pray and lay hands. And pray and anoint with oil. We believe that. And I've always think it's amazing that when I go to do chaplaincy at a hospital, and you go to visit anyone at a hospital, everybody wants prayer. It is rarely do you see folks that don't want you to pray for them or pray with them. It's important. They want to know that someone cares, that God cares, that there's a God who cares. And so he gives us instructions in the church. That's why we do it in the church. The elders of the church, he doesn't mean the chronological age. He means those of us who are serving in the church. Pray over them. He says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone Amen. Who has committed sins will be forgiven. Right? So we are praying in faith. Praying in faith means that we pray and believe. Do we know the answer do we have the answer for what's going to happen? Do we pray sometimes and people don't get well? Yes. People don't get well here on earth. Do we get brokenhearted? Yes. We tend to forget that there are many people we pray for that get well. We dwell on that person who doesn't get well. And we forget that there are many people being prayed for every single day that get well. And their sins will be forgiven. He says, he goes on and says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, you know, I have prayed for people who don't want me to pray for them. Do you know that? Has that ever happened to anybody here? Maybe it's just me. There was a woman I know many years ago and she was not well. And sometimes she really wasn't well, and they told me, and I said to her family, the son, I said, I'm praying for your mother. I just said it because I was praying. And he must have gone back. I must have gone back and said, you know, the pastor is praying for, you know, they're praying at the church and the pastor is praying. And she said, I don't want any of them to pray for me. What are they praying for me for? And I said, tell her she can't stop us from praying. We're going to pray anyhow. Well, it took many years, but she came around because she did get well. And you never know, sometimes you pray for people who are the meanest people, and they're the ones who get better. And you pray for some wonderful, loving saints, amen, and they don't get better. You never know what happens. You know, you pray for some people and they're not nice, and God raised them up and they are just looking so good. Right? And he says, boy, I must have really prayed hard. You know, because you're in your heart, I don't know. I know Zamzam is more saintly than I am, but sometimes you're praying for people and you're getting it in your spirit to pray. It says, Lord, I really don't want to pray for them. They've been so mean to me, but I'm going to pray anyhow. Because the Lord has told you to pray. I'm just letting you know that I'm human like everybody else. Right, baby boy? I'm human like everybody else, you know. So sometimes I'm praying and I shall I make a confession? Another confession. Because the other day something happened to me and I was thinking about it and I said, okay, you know, you're the pastor. Not only are you a pastor, you're a Christian first. And but then, you know, there was one voice on this side, the voice that's not too good. And the other voice on this side, and I didn't want to pray. I says, oh, I'm not going to pray. They have been on my back so much. And I heard the soft voice of the Lord saying, you better pray. And the other voice, it was like a tug of war. And I'm in the middle, and I thought, I don't want to pray. But I relented because, amen, I wanted to please God.
Amen.
Right? I relented because I never wanted to displease God. And after I got done praying, I felt better. But if I followed that other voice, you know that voice was Zamzam who's following me around sometimes. Because that's what happens. But our task is to pray. Not to analyze. Not to figure it out. Not to decipher it. It's to pray. And now it gives me such joy to pray. I said to Zamzam today, I says, can you go out to the hospital with me out to Stony Brook after all of this is done? Because I have a colleague who's there and she's struggling and she called last night and she says, and I really didn't want to go. Yes, I was out there last week. I really did not want to go today because I have so many things to do. But she called. She's going through a hard time and she's battling and fighting. And so she said last night when she called her, she could hardly speak. Her daughter gave her the phone. She says, Marjorie, I gotta come. I need you. I need you. I need you to come pray with me. She says, I need your strength so we could pray, because she could barely speak. So we're going to go pray, right? And when I get to the hospital on that floor, I pray for everybody on that floor. I pray for the doctors. I think they think I'm a little bit nuts. The doctor comes in the room and I'm like, Lord, bless him and bless her and direct them and tell them what to do, you know, and thank them, Lord, you know. And sometimes they just look at you because they think, here goes one of those praying people. Because we're told to pray. We're told to pray for each other. Right? Because he says the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective.
Amen.
The prayer of the righteous. Am I 100% righteous? I don't know. But I'm going on to perfection. Maybe I'm 85 today. During the week I could be 50. Who knows? But I am praying anyhow. The prayer of the righteous. The effective prayer of the righteous should avail it much. So we pray. You can pray. Pray that God will heal. And so James reminds us that human being can do it. Because Elijah prayed and there was a drought. And then he prayed and the heavens opened. And Elijah was just a man like you and me. And so friends, I'm reminding you today because we do have a baptism. And so I'm going to bring it home now that we can pray. And we must pray. And I read this thing that St. Augustine talked about, a woman who was diagnosed with cancer. And it's an old story. And the doctor had given her a bad, bad report that she could take off. She had breast cancer. She could take it off all the breasts and she was going to die anyway. If she kept it, she was going to die. And she prayed and she heard from the Lord. And the Lord told her that, you know, in the Catholic Church, you have they call it the
baptistry, the baptistry, where the water is, where you go in to get the water, that the first person she meets coming from there should ask her to bless them. She went to the church and she waited, and the woman, you know, came and prayed and blessed, and she was cured of cancer.
Amen.
Through prayer. The songwriter says, we don't know the mysteries of the world. I know we think we have Facebook. Oh, don't even talk about that, because now millions of accounts have been breached. You know, we thought it was so great. And the best Facebook there is heaven. There's never a problem with heaven, is there? But anyhow, they said, here there's millions of people who believe that we have everything. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Snapchat, we have all those things, whatever. We think we know everything. But there's one mystery we can never figure out and never will. It's the mystery of God. We either believe or we don't believe. And the mystery of prayer. It's a gift. We either take it or we leave it. But for those of us who believe it, my God, what a joy there is to know that we don't have to take every burden by ourselves. There's a songwriter says, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Prayer is the key to the heart of God. Prayer is the key. And for us who are Christians, we believe that Jesus unlocks the door when we seek the Lord in prayer. Another song says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Friends, let me tell you, there is peace in prayer. When I get up off my knees, or if I'm sitting and I'm praying, I don't have the answer when I get up, but there's a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
That I know that God is taking care of it somehow. And God is going to show me the way. And God is going to bring me through. And so we depend on God. So I invite you, if you have not been praying, folks, to try prayer. It won't fail you. And God doesn't remember anything we have done in the past. If you call on Him, He'll answer. The prayer of faith changes things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.